Hey everyone, it's Monday. You know what that means. It means it's time for Get to Know Night, the weekly show where you ask me questions and I give you answers to the best of my ability. We got a lot of questions to go through today, so I'm just going to jump right into it. The first question I have is from Verena. They ask, can you speak some German? Sprechen de Deutsch, which is, I speak German. I don't speak German. My German's not very good. So I'm so sorry for everyone who speaks German not to hear that. But thank you for your question. The next question I have is from Maddie Renee. They ask, are tattoos attractive on women? I think they are. I really do like tattoos on women. I think they look really, like, they look cute. But I'm also really partial to tattoos in general, so. but yeah, so that, at least that's my take. Thank you for asking the question. Let's see. So, A Divine Frenzy asks, hey, Knight, it sounds like you have a background in acting. I mean, kind of. It sounds like you get sick a lot. That's also kind of true. It's not a roast. It's actually kind of endearing. For some reason, I've always liked taking care of people, especially people who I'm romantically interested in when they get sick. My question is, how do performers deal with it when they get sick on a film shoot or in a stage production and you get sick? It seems like actors somehow magically never get sick. If that's the case, I'd like to know how and if I can get an actor's immune system. Thank you for all you do, and I hope you're having a great and healthy day. So that's actually a really interesting question. So it depends is the long short of it. So Hollywood actors do actually get sick probably less frequently than like the population, but that isn't due to anything more than like they really take, like, they're taking a lot of supplements, vitamins, they're like really actively making sure their body's healthy. They're like working out constantly, like, they're doing things to ensure that they're less susceptible to getting ill, which is why they're more often than not healthy. But if, let's say, you're a stage actors get sick all the time. That's why there's an understudy for people who perform plays. There's always an understudy ready on standby in case the lead gets sick. And if you're on a film shoot, lead actors get sick all the time. Depends on how sick you are. Like, if we can get you in front of a camera and you can do your thing and you have, like, a cold, we'll get away with it. If you can't perform at all, the first AD might rework the shoot so that we can bring your double in and we can just shoot like all the over the shoulders where we wouldn't necessarily see your face, but we would see the back of you. So we would shoot all that coverage, or we would shoot, like, we would maybe push up some stunt sequences that you wouldn't be doing. And then bring in second unit to shoot all that. So it would all depend on, the production and what's happening and stuff. But yeah, people get sick all the time. For the most part, if you're of a certain, like, caliber of actor, you know, you have, like, great healthcare and you have great access to medicine and vitamin supplements and all this other stuff. So they really work on keeping you healthy. But if you're not, then, or if, like, God forbid you just get sick for some random reason, that's what the first AD is all about, is helping rework the schedule so that production doesn't come to a grinding halt. Because there's always stuff we could shoot, even if we don't have our lead. Usually, prototypically. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes there's time constraints where, like, you're on a set that we don't have forever and stuff like that. Anyway, I can go on about this forever. But, yeah, there's nothing special about actors that make them less prone to being sick. I wish that was true. It feels a little disingenuous for me to lump myself in with actors, because I'm not an actor. I wish. But, yeah. So, thank you for your question. I always love answering film and television questions. Let's see. Hey, Kay. This is from Anonymous, by the way. Hey, Kay, I need your opinion. Do you think it's okay for a woman to make the first move on a man? I like this person, but I'm really bad at flirting, and I end up roasting him instead. That's why I think he didn't get the signal and acts casual towards me, which kind of bums me out. As a grown-up man, how would you feel if a woman makes a move on you first? I think I'd be flattered. Yeah, if you're roasting him and he isn't getting the sign, I mean, you could, if you're feeling brave, you could just level with him and be like, hey, I think you're really cute. Would you want to go out sometime? you know, like literally just make a legitimate move on him. And if he is interested, then he'll tell you. And if he isn't, he isn't. But I think like that would be the best way to get a definitive answer, which I know is terrifying. Yeah, like it's as a man who's had to ask out women, like making a move is a terrifying thing because it comes with uncertainty. You're like, will she say yes? Will she say no? And like, what does that mean? So I will let you know that there is some uncertainty in that, but I don't think it's inappropriate at all. I think it's like pretty sexy if a woman is like, I know what I want and I want you. I'm like, okay, cool. Like that's, you know, I think almost all the women I've dated have at some level pursued me a little bit. So it wasn't always like me pursuing them. Some of it was like I was pursued by her, which I thought was like flattering. And I was like, oh wow, you know what you want, and like I thought it was sexy. I don't know. So, yeah, I don't think it's inappropriate at all. I think you should go for it. So yeah, I hope that helps. Anonymous asks, do you meditate or do yoga in your daily life? Oh, man. I used to do yoga every day. And I kind of regret not. Maybe after this gets internet, I'll do some yoga. But yeah, I used to do yoga. And I used to meditate quite frequently. I don't meditate as much as I used to. And I probably should get back into it. Because it was really, really, really helpful when I was meditating. If you don't meditate, I recommend doing it. It's so good. You just need 10 minutes of your time. Like, it's not a lot of time, but, you know, there's just something about giving yourself that space to clear your head and kind of get yourself centered. It does wonders. It really does wonders in your life. So I'm a proponent for it. I just haven't done it a lot recently, which I regret because it's really wonderful. Let's see. Sierra asks, hey, how are you? I'm doing good. My question is, would you stay with a woman you love, even if she can't have kids? Yeah, of course. Even if the question isn't that she can have kids, but she doesn't want kids, I think the answer remains the same. Yeah, I think I would stay with her, because I love her, and she's the one I want, and she's the one I chose. You know, better for worse, all that kind of good stuff. So, yeah, I don't think that would change my position. I don't know if that's true for everyone, because, you know, certain people value having kids over their partnership, which I'm not saying is wrong or right or anything. I'm just saying that in their calculus, having kids is like, it's weight heavier. Whereas I think for me, my heaviest like weight on that scale is like forever partnership. I think it's like the most important thing. Like, I would rather have someone I could spend the rest of my life with, and we would never have kids, than have someone I would only spend part of my life with, but have a guarantee of kids. So, I think in that scale, I weigh more towards the partnership. So, for me, I wouldn't have an issue with it, for me personally. But yeah, thank you for your question, Sierra. Let's see. Anonymous asks, okay, in your last AMA, you said you were going to cut your hair. Can you show us their hair clippings? I know I'm not the only one who wants to see it. I don't think anyone wants to see my hair clippings, but I haven't cut my hair yet. It is the longest it's ever been in my entire life, and it's about an inch and a half too short to donate. So I have to wait about another inch and a half, and then I'm going to donate it, which I'm really excited about, because I've never been able to donate my hair. It's never been long enough to do that. So I'm really stoked to do that. When I do donate it, I will snap a picture of like my hair being donated, and I might get an Instagram picture of it if I can make it look nice. So yeah, you might be able to see my hair clippings at some point. Anyway, thank you for the question. I really appreciate it. Let's see. There's two questions that are very similar. One is from Sandwich and one's from Anonymous. But I'm going to read both of them, and then I'm going to answer both of them, because they're very similar in, like, the question. Hey, Kay, how's your day? My day just started, so it's going pretty good. I'm curious, you've uploaded so many audios in a week, and you've already recorded so many audios. Have you ever been in audio block? Like, have no idea or no mood for recording some audios, or record audios, it doesn't feel right. If you've ever experienced that, what motivates you back and how do you get through it? And then the next question, which is very similar, is since the beginning of your first time you record audios, even though I know you recorded them more than that, or more than what you used to, I guess, have you ever went through a phase where you didn't feel like recording or wasn't in the mood or didn't have time to do any audios or was feeling a little bit lazy about recording? And even though you felt that, still went through and recorded audios. So both these questions, one from Sandwich and one from Anonymous, are both addressing like the audio equivalent of writer's block, which, I think I've totally experienced that. I think anyone who does anything creative for any amount of time, whether it's painting, writing, recording, will feel a little, not necessarily burnt out, but will feel like kind of creatively stuck sometimes. We'll be like, ah, man, what am I, like, what should I do? What's my direction? And I'd be lying if I didn't say that I've encountered that more than a handful of times. Where I'm just in a place where I'm like, either I'm not happy with what I'm recording, or I'm like, oh, I don't know what to record. And sometimes I record things and I just don't feel happy with them. I'm just not, like, stoked on it. It doesn't make me feel like, oh, this is, like, great. This feels like gold. And I think a lot of what helps, well, one, even during those times where I feel like everything I record is terrible, I still do it. And here's why. Because if you stop, you're only making it worse. You're creating more anxiety about the thing that you're trying to overcome. The worst thing I've ever done when I've had writer's block is stop writing. That is a recipe to cripple your writing for a little bit. You're okay to take a break from it. Stepping away, taking a break, that's fine. But you can't stop doing the thing, because the only way you're going to overcome it is by just doing the thing. You know, if you're a painter and you're just like, everything I paint is garbage, just paint without any expectation. Just paint, like, don't go into it with any kind of, like, goal, objective, focus. Just go in there and just paint. Do the thing that you love to do and forget about all the other stuff, because it's not really the thing. It's not the painting. You don't have any issue painting. You're a great painter. You can keep painting forever. It's all the expectation around painting now that's creating the problem with painting, you know? Like, as a writer, like, it's not the writing that is the issue. It's my fear of giving it to someone else or success or this or that or the other that's affecting my ability to write. It isn't the writing. It's not me and the writing. It's me and the other stuff, you know? That's the same thing with audios. When I get blocked, it's not me really being blocked by recording audios. I think it's me being blocked by everything around recording audios. And when I just go back into recording audios and just try to forget about everything else and just think, record just for fun, record for you, then I feel like it becomes easier. And then I'm like, oh, I can do this again. And then the block is basically lifted. At least that's my tool. It's been my weapon against any kind of creative blockage. It's been really helpful. So I hope that helps other people who have these kind of creative blocks. Because I feel like whenever you do any kind of creative venture, you're very likely to find moments where you feel like, I can't do it anymore. But you can, because you have been doing it, and you can keep doing it. It's just try to forget about all the other stuff around it, and just go back to, like, it's. I remember people saying this about people in sports, when they're, like, thinking, like, when they're really down on themselves about it, be like, hey, just go out there and play like you did when you were a kid. Don't think about winning, don't think about losing, don't think about anything. Just go out there and play. It's a game. Go play the game. And that's kind of what we're, like, forget about all this, like, adult stuff that's now clouded this fun thing we do. Just play again. And once you start playing again, you'll just, all of a sudden everything becomes more free. So yeah, I hope that helps. Let's see. Jackie asks, what inspires you to do these audios? Is it people? Is it a person? Or is it simply because you like to do it? It's all three of those things, I think. It's all three of them. I don't know. I think a lot of it, I get quite inspired from comments. I get quite inspired from, like, the community and the audience. I get inspired from my life. I don't know. This almost feels part act of storyteller, part act of, I guess, act. There's a lot in here that really speaks to me. I don't know. Audio creation is just this is a really interesting medium that I'm really enjoying, and I'm enjoying to exploring it. So yeah, I don't know. I wish I could be more clear and definitive, but it's a lot of things. It's a lot that goes into inspiring me to do this. I think the kernel, the seed that grew this, came from Reddit a long time ago, years ago. Listening to people who made this similar content, and it really inspired me. It really made me go, let me try this. Let me do this thing. Cause it really impacted me. It really resonated with me. There was something real and true in it. And upon listening to it, I kind of wanted to do the same thing. I wanted to explore it. I wanted to find and create something that felt real and true. I feel like for the most part, I've achieved that, which I'm really proud about. So yeah. Thank you for your question, Jackie. I think that's everything. Yeah, we're out of time for today. But if you have a question and you'd like to ask it, feel free to. There should be a link down in the doobly-doo down below where you can write whatever question you want. Anyway, I've been Knight, and I hope you have a great rest of your Monday, and I'll talk to you all later. Bye now.